Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody, or good afternoon. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. We have a caller in the queue, so we're going to be getting to the caller in just a moment, but want to let everybody know what the caller number is, 914-338-0164. Please do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us, and we love your support on our social media sites, Facebook and Twitter. You may find those on our Neil and Kristen Baker profile, on our blog, Talk Radio profile, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Okay, so let's bring on our caller, 631. You are on the air. Hello.
Hi guys, this is Nicole.
Hi Nicole.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fine, thanks. How about you?
Good. I am calling with a question. I recently picked up some tarot cards just to help me further with my own personal journey with, you know, I'm trying to transition from working, you know, for a company, you know, to really working for myself because I know what I'm supposed to do. So I asked my cards, you know, what would be, you know, what's in store for me for the next month. And I'm just having difficulty, you know, discerning what, you know, my next steps are because I'm feeling kind of stuck. So I was just wondering what you guys can tell me about, you know, anything about, you know, what the next month brings. So I'm just really trying to just, you know, take it step by step and try not to look too far into the future or, you know, psych myself out or things like that. But I'm feeling like I'm not really sure where to go as far as where I'm at right now with my transition, you know, to working for myself and helping people.
Okay, so first of all, Nicole, what's your birth date?
9/30/82.
1982, and for some, you know, what's weird is that for some reason, when we took your call, I got this impression of pink. I don't know that color pink around you. Is there anything pink around you right now, or fuchsia?
Pink or fuchsia. I mean, I have a daughter that's like always pink. Like, and I feel like she's really intuitive. So, like, is it physically pink? Like, something specific?
Well, I don't know. I mean, so you're saying your daughter,
I think
it's wearing
her.
A lot of pink? Does she wear pink? Or?
Yeah, she's a toddler. Like, everything she has is pink. Her toys are pink.
That's it. So, I'm just tapping into your energy. So
and she said hi. I don't know if you heard her when I first.
No, I did not.
She said hi. Yeah. Wow.
Okay. So, well, hello to your daughter. Hi. I can hear her in the background, but I didn't hear the hello distinctly.
Oh, well, that's my son, but she chimed in hi. And then that was it.
Well, that's okay. So that's what that is. And just real quick, because I know we're going to get to your question in just a minute, but you would have had a big change in 2014.
Mom.
What happened in 2014?
That's when I met their father.
Okay. So.
Yeah.
All right.
But we're
so,
not, that situation is like not, it's not good. I'm totally just trying to keep my distance from that whole vibe he got going on over there. Not working.
Okay,
but
so that was
when I met him in 2014.
Okay.
Yeah,
that was the change. That was the change, and it doesn't matter if you're not with him. That's you know, it's a positive.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. So, in your work that you currently do, you're working for a company, but you want to transition into your own business. Is your business...
Yes, I just feel so restricted, yes.
Okay, so I don't know, Neil, are you getting anything about what the business is? I mean, I think I know what it might be because she said, what business do you want to do?
I know I'm supposed to serve people. I'm a healer. I'm supposed to help people. But, you know, I stopped school about a month ago. I was getting my license as a clinical mental health counselor, and I literally just stopped because I just felt like, you know, this is not, you know, I just feel restricted. Like, I just feel so restricted. Like, you know, I'm going to have to follow this procedure. I have to make sure, you know, but I know that I have my own, you know, specifically with talking with people, you know, to help them. And it just feels like, you know, I just feel stifled, honestly.
So you were in school, just so we have it straight, you were in school to be a mental health counselor, but now you've dropped out and you don't want to do it because you feel you're going to be restricted. So let me ask you this.
Yes.
I mean, you said you are a healer, and I mean, I thought that's what you're going to say. It could be because you talked about the tarot cards. I don't know, but I had the vibe you were going to say you wanted to do something in the healing arts. However, what's your job currently? What are you currently doing at the company?
Right now, it's really similar. I'm a health coach. And it's really about behavior change. So although it's geared toward weight loss, it's really helping people, you know, change their behavior and their way of thinking. So it's really similar. It's just not exactly what I feel I should be doing.
So is it sales too that you're doing for the company?
No, I'm not in sales. I'm directly working with people, helping them, you know, achieve their health goals.
Does the company do sales for their product?
Yes, it's pretty much a startup company that's just like it's growing and growing.
And you're on the end of counseling people, but they like do weight loss programs for people that they sell.
Yes.
And you don't like it?
No, I love it. It's just the fact that, you know, from what I feel from people, you know, I'm restricted in the fact because, you know, I'm not able to use my credentials, you know, because I do have a bachelor's degree and certificates like that to help with mental, but I have to keep it geared toward weight loss. Like, I have to always make sure that, you know, I'm not being prescriptive, and, you know, that's something that I want to do. I want to be able to directly tell people, you know, what I'm feeling. I'm really intuitive. Like, I I'm an empath, and I feel what people, you know, are going through. So it's frustrating for me not to be able to do that, you know, in the way that I feel that I want to do it.
Well, I mean, I'm going to let Neil talk in just a sec, but I just want to say that the challenge that you have is going to be building your business if you're working for yourself and developing your skills, your intuitive skills, which, I mean, you know, there's a lot of people that do this type of work that maybe haven't done as much work on themselves and developing their talent and just go out and do it. And they're successful in building a clientele despite the fact that they haven't done the correct work. But my advice would be if you're going to do
business. Oh,
I'm
my first client. Like, I'm my first, yeah.
I don't think the idea of going to school is such a bad one, because if you're a mental health counselor, then you have more, you're not limited in the scope of what you can talk about in terms of, like, you know, specifically focusing on weight loss. Obviously, you're going to be, there's much more breadth in the you know, topics you're going to be able to discuss with people who have mental health issues. But, you know, I don't know. What do you think, Neil?
Well, yeah, I agree with Kristen, Nicole. You see, what you want free rein to be able to express yourself psychically, and you don't want to be restricted in terms of, you know, weight loss or counseling or something like this. You want to have this freedom. So what you need to do is, you need to keep your job and even take a degree in school. You know, that's advisable. But what you need to do in order to realize your dream is you've got to start building your clientele and start doing readings and charging. So you're going to be doing both at the same time.
Oh, wow. Like, that confirmed what I thought from the cards. That's what I was thinking, like starting off with like a podcast or something, just doing it.
Yeah.
you know,
and
talking.
Also, before you charge, maybe get some practice, like doing a podcast and do the readings, you know, for free. I mean, and then you can start building a clientele. You start building a reputation to your accuracy.
You could do that, or you could ask for donations, you know, or small $5 readings or something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get started, but you need to do both simultaneously. So
get back into
I don't see any other.
It's just so hard. Like, I'm a single mom, like, I have 3 kids and I work full time. And, school, you know, so, like, I felt like something had to go anyway. And it was, like I said, I was just feeling, you know, restricted. So I literally, like, this, I want to say 2 weeks ago was, like, my last class. But, and it's not completely out of the door as far as going back, you know, going back to my master's program. It's something that, you know, I didn't completely shut the door on it. But, you know, I was just wondering what this feeling was in me that I was just feeling. Maybe it was just feeling overwhelmed that I couldn't keep up with it. And that's what it was. But, you know, I was just feeling so restricted.
Was the master's program like a go-at-your-own-pace program that you could do online, or were you actually reporting to school?
Yes, it was online, not really going at my own pace, but I had to do it online because, you know, I don't really have the ability to, like, you know, go to a traditional school with, you know, my kids and everything and work.
Kids.
But, it was, you know, it was a lot, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot for working full-time and going to school full-time. Like, it was so... I had no time, another thing. I had no time to practice on myself as far as, you know, because how you said I needed to. Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could go, I'm sorry to interrupt, but maybe you could go part-time and just go slower. I don't know if that's possible, but if you could take a class, you know, I know someone who's doing a doctorate program and they do one class at a time. There's a lot of work, but it's one class at a time and it's designed for people that are working professionals.
I don't really see a problem. This isn't complicated. Your next month, what you should be doing, Nicole, is I know you've got a lot on your plate, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. So what?
I'm used to it. Yeah.
They're all related, but see, they're all related to what registers in your heartbeat, your children and your career. And what you're doing is you're promoting your career to the place where you can express yourself exclusively without any restrictions as your own psychic reader. And you have to kind of take the steps to get there. So to me, it's very logical. You pursue your license and get that under your belt. And then you're also doing, simultaneously, you're doing readings on the blog talk or whatever, and you're charging a nominal fee, or if somebody wants a reading aside from the you can charge, and you're good to go. And right now you're what? How old is she?
She's 30.
I'm 37.
She just turned 37. So she's on a multiple from 32.
Yeah, you're 15 years beyond the age of 32. So all of this is all...
She's not 50. She's 5 years beyond the age of 32.
Oh, I mean, 5 years. You're 5 years beyond the age of 32. So that's a multiple. Cool. That's your master number, 5.
Plus 5.
And, you know, it just... that's where this is going. And that's what you should be doing. So I don't think there's any further question about it. You just have to apply yourself and distribute your energy in such a way that you can handle all the facets of it. And then you're good to go before September.
Okay. So go back to school. That's definitely something that I should do.
The thing is, Nicole, that your life goes in cycles of 5 from birth to death. So even to your master, your karmic number is 32, and it's not divisible by 5. So you're going to have changes like at 37. This is a significant change for you because it's 5 years. Additionally, because our life goes in cycles of 5, you're going to have another change at the age of 40 years old. So that might be when you graduate.
Yeah, and we're not saying we're not saying that you can't be outstandingly open about yourself by just pursuing the psychic elements. You can do that if you want, not go back to school. But if you want to go back to school and get that degree, so, since you're so close to it.
Yeah, it is, because I don't like not finishing things that I don't start. So it never really sat, you know, right with me. But, yeah, it makes sense what you're saying as far as, you know, just, I guess, you know, just taking my time with it, because I guess I was wrapped up with, you know, getting it over with, too,
over
like
with,
getting it done as
right.
soon as possible. Yeah, so, you know, it was just really, I couldn't figure out, like, what it was, you know, like, why I felt so, like, stifled, you know, lately, because that's a big thing, too, as far as my own self-care, because I, you know, I just do not, you know, I know I need to meditate more, and it's just so hard to do, and, you know, I feel so pulled in so many directions that I kind of necessarily don't want to be in, like, with work and school, but, you know.
Yeah,
it's difficult, so I guess it's just bouncing it out, yeah.
It's better to complete it and do it
mm-hmm.
and do it slowly than drop it altogether, you know?
You're right. Yeah.
You might
yeah.
as well do
You're
that.
Right.
And it's better to complete it slowly if you need more time for yourself than to try to get it all done so fast that you're starving.
Yeah,
your
that's
own,
what I was doing.
You know?
Yeah. That's what I was doing, yeah, for a whole year and a half until I really just literally ran out of steam.
Yeah.
Like, this is my second year.
Just take it slower, and you know, obviously you've got some classes under your belt already, and re-enroll when you can, and go forward. Do your show. That's our advice. We've got to move on to this next caller, Nicole.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. And Nicole may follow us on our social media sites. We hope that she does. She can find them under our profile here on the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Okay. We have a caller from 562 area code.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. This is Yvonne from California.
Hi. Yvonne. Is that Y-V-O-N-N-E? No.
No, it's E-V-O-N-E.
E-V-O-N-E. That's a pretty spelling. Okay. Go
Thank
ahead.
You. My birthday is August 14th, 1984.
Okay. And
do I have to ask a question? Oh, I just wanted
you
to see.
Have to,
I'm
but
love.
You have one. Love?
Yes, love question.
Is there anyone specific, or are you just asking a general question?
No, just general. If you see someone coming up for me in the future.
Okay. Right now. Isn't she having a big change now?
Yeah,
you're 35. You just turned 35 years old.
Yes,
so
I did.
Someone should be coming in. Someone should be coming in. I would say now. I mean, within a 9-month period from the age of 35, you should have a big change happening. Are there any big changes right now that you can validate are occurring in your life?
Not yet, since I turned 35, not yet. I'm hoping something, but not yet.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you see, your karmic number is 35, so that's why Kristen was saying this is a big change right now in your life. And what you have that's nice is you have this continual repetition of 8 and 4. You have 8 and 4 in your first and third numbers, and then your day over to your year is an 8, 4 and 8. And then it's repeated again in the 8 and 4 in your year, and the 8 and 4 in your first and last numbers. You have all these 8 4s going on, which is heart and abundance. So the suggestion that at 35 you should fall in love this year before
okay.
August. Before August. Now there's a couple of symbols around that. And one is a very small miniature, like a child's toy merry-go-round or something that spins around in circles. I'm not sure, you know, it brings up ideas of amusement and rides and things like that. In any part of your experience, are you involved with any kind of children?
Just my child, my daughter. She's 4 years old.
Oh, okay, so your daughter, and she's 4 years old, which is one of the numbers in your birth date. So
yes.
What that means is we're slowly validating and getting closer to the concept of you having your finding your love life this year. What's your daughter's birthday?
Okay, awesome. Her birthday is October 20th, 2015.
Okay, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. She's an 11-2. Okay, and then the father, was the father of the child ever in any form of military service?
No.
No. Why? Okay, so now the next question is there anybody in your family that was military?
Yes, my grandfather and my father, my dad.
And what kind of military service did they serve?
My dad was a Marine and he was in the Vietnam War. And my grandfather was, I'm not sure which one, I think World War
I don't need your grandfather. The fact that your father joined the Marines and wasn't drafted, that he joined the Marines, enlisted into the Marines, and qualified and passed, and then was in Vietnam, that's what's important in terms of me seeing where this energy of this soldier is coming from. So it comes from father. We got father. Are you close to your father?
Yes, very much. Yes.
Okay. Well, you're going to get a boyfriend this year.
Okay. And, awesome.
And he'll be very similar to your father.
Okay.
Take away the parts that you don't like.
I was going to say, hopefully she has a good relationship with her father.
She does.
Oh, I stepped away for a moment. That's why.
But there's parts of him that are going to remind you of your dad, but the good parts. There's some drinking, alcohol. You went through some phase of somebody having an alcohol problem. Who was that?
That was my father and me. In my 20s, I drank a lot, like every night.
Yeah.
And my father did too. And he still does.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Is he divorced from your mother?
Yes. They was married a long time. They got divorced 2 years ago.
Yeah. Well, we're getting enough validations. We don't need to keep compounding all these validations. We got enough, but it all registers as, and the merry-go-round thing led to your child. So it all registers to getting a boyfriend, probably a soulmate boyfriend this year, which could be the significant year of it leading into something very deep and long-lasting. The other thing will be, and then Kristen can give her impressions, but the other impression I'm getting is the symbol of a lightning bolt. You know, a lightning bolt. That could be electricity. It could be, I'm not sure, but it's a lightning bolt. I don't know. Is there anybody around you with the name Michael or even like the name Mercury or Mary or something with an M?
No.
No.
Only Michael I know is someone that passed away in my family in 76. I wasn't even born. He was murdered.
He was murdered? Okay, well, that brings up something because the lightning bolt now signifies the symbol of him being murdered. Like, was he shot or something?
No, stabbed to death, like, multiple times.
Multiple times stabbed to death? Well, I'm going to suggest that the lightning bolt was like a knife. Yeah. It was just like a spear. And so the lightning bolt means that this soul is somehow, for some reason, connecting to you in the reading. It doesn't matter if you didn't know him. There's some kind, you know, he's probably wandering around on the astral plane because he was murdered. So his soul has ascended into any higher level of the astral realm. But he's sort of moving around, and he says that there is a space in your habitation where there's just a lot of shoes, like shoes on the floor, shoes. Do you have any closet full of shoes, or are you your shoes?
Yes, I do. Yes, a lot of shoes everywhere on the floor, in the closet, under bed, like just everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he occupies your space. Not a big deal. you know, these souls that die dramatically and they can't transcend and their souls are locked in the astral realm, that will often move through the physical realm of one's environment. And it's not a bad thing. I don't feel nervous about his presence or anything. I just think he's hanging out because of the energy field of how he left the planet, that there are still living family members on the planet. So it probably gives him some comfort to hang out. It'd be like a cat hanging out in your front yard and you feed it because it feels safe there. And for some reason, there's somebody who does painting or portraits, some artist. Anybody talented in art?
My sister. Daughter, actually, she's 4 years old, but she paints pretty good for her age.
Okay, good.
So could be her.
Good. And your sister, to what extent does she do art?
She just do it for fun, like just every now and then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So just real quick, because I think you've been pretty comprehensive in what you said. I just curious, how do you meet potential romantic partners? What do? Do you go online? Are there places that you go? Do you have any hobbies that you
I don't really go online. I used to, but not anymore. The last person I was with for a long time was my child's father, and I met him at a bingo game.
A bingo game?
A
bingo hall.
Yes.
Huh. So in terms of meeting somebody, you've got kids, so maybe getting out is harder than it would be if you were totally,
yes,
single. What do you think you might do rather than go online? Probably going online isn't the best way to meet somebody, but I don't know if I'd say go meet someone in a bingo hall either. just because of the aspect of, it's gambling, right? Was it a gambling hall? Bingo hall or?
Yes, it was. Yes.
Bingo is not a.
I know it's not
hardcore.
Hardcore, but some people that do bingo might, Was he a gambler? Your previous boyfriend?
Yes, and he still is. Yes.
I would think probably the best place to meet somebody. So, any ideas what you might do? Do you have any interest other than bingo where you might be able to meet somebody?
No, I don't. I don't have any idea. Maybe I'll just wait until I meet them in the grocery store. I don't know.
Maybe
it's a good place to meet.
Maybe you'll meet a guy who has a dog named Bingo.
Probably. I don't know if she gets the
bingo,
reference. B-I-N-G-O. I know.
B-I-N-G-O.
The song.
Bingo was his name, B-I-N-G-O.
It's a song.
Probably before your time.
Probably.
Yvonne. Well, you're asking us what we think. We think you're going to get you'll find this soulmate before August. And it should be a very nice situation. This should be a better situation than you've experienced before. I don't know where you'll meet them. Our suggestion is that it's going to just come organically.
Hopefully,
so you don't need to
go
anywhere
searching out.
It's going to come up. It might come up at a family gathering if you have any family members that have parties and they invite somebody and you meet somebody that's kind of a gentleman and nice. It might come from that area.
Or a friend of a friend type thing.
Yeah.
I have one quick question before you guys go. Is it true? I've been studying astrology a little bit, and is it true, like, for your personal? I'm not sure if you guys ever heard of it, personal year, like 8 year, because I think I'm in my 8 year or something like that. Is it true that you have more money or something, like more abundance and all that?
You mean numerology. You've been studying numerology?
Yes.
Let me just real quickly add, because it's 8, 9, 13, 14, 15, 16 plus 9. Actually, you would be, I'm not sure how they calculate it, because we don't go by what the books say. The form of numerology that we're using doesn't coincide with
well,
what is.
There is something.
But it would be a 27. She'd be. It's a 9 year. It's a 9 year, not an 8 year.
No,
because
she's 35.
She may be 35.
But that's an 8.
But they calculate what I'm.
I don't
I
care
understand
about
that. I know, but according to what she's saying.
Well, don't. Here's the part of what she's saying. What we would agree to. The 8 is in your, you're 35 right now, and that equals 8. And
yes.
8 does signify abundance and money and rebirth. So that, those two parts of the question is what we would validate. How you calculate
okay.
it according to the books or what they're saying, we don't support that part. But there is a suggestion
okay.
why 8 is important. Your year right now adds up to an 8, and 8 is abundance, and you have
it's
a strong 8
in
your
birth
date.
But can I ask, just out of curiosity, is it when you do a personal year, it's your month and day plus that year, correct? It'd be
yes.
8 plus 1 plus 4 plus 2 plus 1 plus 9. Yeah, so it would have been a 9 according to that. But what we're saying is the 8 is significant to you because of the fact that it's your master number, it's in your birth date code. And yes, it can signify abundance. It's also 8 is the first chakra outside of the body. So, you know, there's that element on a more spiritual level, you know, aside from the physicality of abundance and what it signifies. So.
All right. Thank you so much, you guys. I really enjoyed this conversation. And I'll talk to you guys soon. And hopefully I can call in and let you guys know if I have a boyfriend by next year.
Please do. And you can join us on our Facebook site for our show and on our Facebook page. We would love it if you did. Thank you for your call.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. So, you know, we've been talking about destiny on and off in some shows that we've had. And I think we talked about destiny like several shows ago, and then we kind of got back to the discussion last week. But there was a clarification I think we wanted to make about, we're talking about the, there was an accident here where we live that happened on Halloween, and there was three people killed, and then there's the thing with the Mormon church, and there's all these deaths that happened in Mexico. And we were talking about the fact that that was a karmic destiny. However, there is a distinction between like that karmic destiny where you come down and there's really nothing you can do about an outcome of death that's going to occur, you know, prematurely. But the element of destiny in its truest form is not exactly the same as karmic destiny.
No, that's right. I mean, a karmic destiny usually results that the destiny of your life has a karmic element to it. You're going to die. Something's going to happen. You're paying off karma. You know, the vocabulary in the psychic world, by utilizing a word, it takes on a certain slanted definition. So when you have just pure destiny, it's your destiny to be president. It's your destiny to go to the desert and discover a new fossil. Usually destiny involves a very dramatic approach to finding something.
So it's a journey in the life, and the whole life
yeah.
is geared toward that journey. So that's how, so it must be differentiated between a karmic destiny and a destiny
yeah, well,
destiny.
Destiny is like the royal jelly in a beehive. It forms the queen. When you have destiny, it's an elevated sense of the search for the meaning of your life. It's your destiny. And it doesn't have a karmic content to it. Like, well, you have karma, so you have to go through this. That alludes more somewhat to fate or to karmic conclusions that you have to face something. But destiny is, it has an elevated sense that it's something special,
specialized and unique.
Yeah. And it elevates itself above the ordinary parts of life.
And karma, the thing is that everyone has karma. Each one of us has karma when we're here. I mean, that is a condition that we all have. Destiny is not. So there was a caller that actually emailed, and she was asking about the difference between karma and destiny, because she actually thought they were one and the same, and they're not. they're not. I mean, again, we all have karma, but not all of us are destined to experience things. And even though some of us have karmic destiny, that is not the same as having a unique destiny.
Right. You know, I mean, if you try to put it as a matter, think of a ruler, and the every inch has a measurement of karma in it. But every inch doesn't occupy the entire ruler. The ruler rules over the inches and the quarter inches and the half inches. The quarter inches, the half inches would be more like fate and karma. The ruler, though, of your life, if you get to that place, that's your destiny. It was Lindbergh's destiny to fly over the Atlantic.
Martin Luther
destiny.
King had a destiny.
He had a destiny.
And really a destiny to be assassinated, which, I mean,
yeah, can
I guess,
conclude. Destiny,
you know, can
conclude
in something tragic.
Ultimately, well, death concludes everything, and how we die can be part of our destiny. To say that death is a destiny, well, that's a no-brainer. Death is inevitable. It's the way our lives are constructed. We die, so we can't really say it's a unique destiny. But I have a feeling that can a common person have a destiny? Yes, but destiny is going to make you feel like something very special is in the energy field. So to say, oh, it's my destiny to die, that might be your fate. Oh, I'm going to die in a car crash, or I can see it. I'm going to die falling off a cliff. That's merely misusing the word destiny. It's that can be fate,
I mean,
or that can be karma.
I mean, if you look up the word destiny, it does say that it means fate. So it's confusing.
Well, dictionaries can be redundant. Destiny has, I'll tell you something else about destiny. Destiny is, it's almost like it's God appointed. You're special. You have a special, unique journey to go on. It's not about karma. It's not about something you have to pay off. It's about something that you're on the planet to do something
special.
But it's your destiny.
But even if you have a destiny, you will experience karma. That's separate from that destiny.
That's in the ruler. We all
right.
have karma. That's a built in. We all have karma, and there's elements of fate, and we can talk about some lower journey of we have creative destiny. You know, creative destiny, maybe Leonardo da Vinci, or we have creative destinies that we establish. Vincent van Gogh and people like that, they have creative destinies that their uniqueness is that
they're outstanding
talent
in their creative art.
But you see, you have to attach creative to it. It's not the purity of destiny.
Like, okay. Jimmy Carter. Would you say he's on a destiny line in his life? I would.
Well, people who manage to be president have destiny, whether you like them or not.
But even more distinct, I think, about Jimmy Carter is that he's such an outstanding human being, whether you like his politics or not. There is something special about his journey on the planet. And, you know, how he separates himself from all those other presidents in terms of humility and a service to others.
There's something, you know, uniquely special about him in the attitude that he takes about life and being compassionate and helping others and being humble and trying to hold those Christian ideologies and things like that, which, you know, is commendable. It's commendable. It's by choice. It wasn't his destiny to be humble. He chose in this lifetime to make a conscious choice out of his education and his belief patterns to be humble and to be of service.
But his destiny was to be president.
His destiny was to be president. But his destiny
wasn't
to
be
humble. Characteristic of his personality. You know, that's not his destiny. That's his choice. And it may be formed by certain parts of karma and the way that his brain and his personality works. But by choice, he can own those. No one controlled him to do that.
Okay.
He can own what he's doing.
Let's make another distinction then. Because people can have destiny that is unique. You know, the real form of destiny, but it doesn't mean that they're going to transcend either. So, you know, there's a lot of people who have destiny to be presidents or that creative destiny, which I would say is probably a lower form of destiny than that higher destiny, like a Martin Luther King. But just because you have that destiny does not mean you're going to get off the planet.
No, it's kind of like, you know, okay, let's put it in a crude example. You have tickets to go to Disneyland, but it doesn't mean you're going to have a good time. Maybe you're not going to have a good time. Maybe you're going to get food poisoning. Maybe you're going to have an accident.
Like the,
maybe you're going to be waiting in lines the whole time and not get on anything. Destiny can get, you can get a ticket into destiny, but the experience of having fulfilled the elements of it has a different, unique vocabulary in terms of the idea of destiny. You know, John McCain have a destiny to be who he was? Yeah, and he ran for president, but he wasn't
destined to be president.
It wasn't, so you go, okay, so that wasn't his destiny. Destiny is in the attitude too of high achievement to such an extent that it's outstanding on a human level.
Well, I mean, let's talk about John McCain a little bit more in detail. John McCain was a prisoner of war. Now, you know, that could be defined as a karmic destiny that he had within the destiny of being an outstanding human being on the planet. Again, whether you like his politics or not, but he made a huge impression on the world in his, you know, what he did as a
politician. Well, that's what I'm
saying.
Destiny can be chopped up. You can chop it up by calling it creative destiny. See, you water it down. You have to throw an adjective in there. You have to subtopic it. It's not just purity in its purest sense. So destiny is something that it's almost equated to the highest form of inspiration. There's an inspirational factor to a person's journey in life that qualifies as destiny. But it could also be it's your destiny to lead people into battle and to be the first man that dies. That's your destiny. You're destined to do that. So destiny can lead to something that, somewhat tragic, but also heroic. You have to kind of get into broaden your mind and be able to feel the vapors of a definition of a word. Because it's distinct. It's something that is the peak of energy. There's lots of mountains, but there's only one Tibet. You know, there's only one El Capitan. You have to figure out that there's something very strongly unique and special and almost divine.
So
that's what destiny includes.
It's a divine assignment, really.
Yeah.
Not that the person will necessarily be divine.
Yeah, I didn't mean Tibet. I meant the Himalayas. I didn't mean Tibet. The mountain.
What is the mountain? The geography experts. God, no, I'm not. You know, in that frame of mind, so I'm not remembering.
That highest peak. God, I can't. I don't
Kilimanjaro? Is it?
No, that's Africa.
Oh. okay, good. We're not gonna. Well, let's talk
about
something.
Your name is Elmer. My name is Fudd.
Elmer
and Fudd.
Oh boy.
And tomorrow we talk about American history.
And we know it's not Mount Fuji
and
either.
We know
okay.
American history.
Okay,
you know, we're famous for the guillotine, but we'll get into that next week.
I can't remember what
the highest mountain in the Himalaya, the one that
Everest.
Everest, is it? No, Everest. Is it Everest?
Is it?
Oh, damn.
Yeah, it's the birth of, yes,
Everest.
That's it.
Okay.
But you Everest. Know what? I always think of Everest, isn't Everest in Washington or Oregon or something? So
I always think of Everest Hemingway, but.
no, isn't it? Isn't there a city?
Yeah, there's a city.
Named Everest in either Washington or Oregon. So I'm always confused because you wouldn't think Himalayas, you know, would have the name Everest.
It's
anyway.
A cousin to Everlasting.
Okay. Now that we've demonstrated our IQs of 80 and 90,
but
what
we're
saying, so it's not necessarily, people are not necessarily divine if they have destiny. There's a divine purpose, perhaps, but being divine means that you are, you know, omniscient. And
yeah.
There
might be some allusion to it being God appointed. You know, what our destiny has a higher quality of control in terms of its factor and what the ultimate result is. Destiny kind of suggests that there's also a higher energy, a higher intelligence guiding the planet. So destiny comes into that element, because when we talk about destiny, we're really alluding to something that is beyond just the physicality of life. We all have an element of physicality. We can all be great runners. We can all be great painters. We can do something in terms of the human quality of endurance and captivating ourselves into being so captivated in a pursuit that we achieve it. That's not necessarily destiny. Destiny is a higher, it includes a higher consciousness that's appointed somebody to do a job.
So in talking about the advancement of the soul, because, you know, many of us on our soul's journey are going to have a higher level advancement because of, you know, whatever master number, how many lives we've lived on the planet. But it doesn't necessarily mean that just because our soul has advanced to a certain point that everyone in their life's journeys will experience destiny in one of their lifetimes. Not every person,
no.
I mean, you know, not every soul rather will.
We can have karmic elements. We can get into the element of transcendence and doing higher work. But you know, I mean, we're all entitled to find some aspect of destiny in our life. It doesn't mean that we have to be somebody famous and do something important to have destiny. Destiny can be on a small scale too. But like I said before, it has a certain, there's a certain quality invested in destiny
in its purest formation. We're talking about a purest definition, because obviously there are small levels of destiny that each one of us can have in our lives, but that still doesn't reach the highest peak of destiny when you're talking about, you know, is someone like a, you know,
you know, there's a famous scene in the movie
John Kennedy
in the movie, you know, Planet of the Apes, when the orangutan, whatever the guy's name was, that was the king, the ruler of the apes. He was above the gorillas. He was above the chimpanzees. I think he was an orangutan. And he said to the character played by Charlton Heston, "You're going to go into the forbidden zone." And one of the doctor chimpanzees says to him, "What's he going to find there?" And he says, "His destiny." Great line in the movie. And what he finds ultimately by traveling into the forbidden zone, thinking he's been on another planet all this time, is he finds the remains of the Statue of Liberty right at the shore's edge of the ocean. And he says, "I've come back home. I've been home all this time." And then he grabs the sand. He jumps down, he grabs the sand, and he says, "You did it. You blew it up. You bastards, you blew up the planet." But Dr. Zor, whatever his name was, Dr. Zor or something, calls that his destiny. It's his destiny to find the true meaning of his existence. Now, that takes on a sort of weird, dramatic, existential core of realizing something. But sometimes destiny at the end of one's life, a person can understand the true meaning of their life, and it comes about through a dramatic search, a journey. So destiny usually involves a journey. It's a journey. Karma, you're driving in a car and you get hit and you're killed. Karma. But journey, a destiny and journey to discover something, that's different. See, it's very different. So one way to equate destiny is to apply it to the sense of a journey. Viktor Frankl wrote, "Man's search for meaning." So in the idea that it's your destiny sometimes to find the true meaning of your life. A lot of people say, "I don't know what my meaning is. I mean, I do things, you know, and I know I want to help people, but what is the true meaning of life?" The true meaning of life. Your destiny could be simply that you discover the spiritual essence of your breath before you leave the planet. You get it. You understand the riddle of the universe, that existence doesn't end. So it could be in the idea of an esoteric translation of intelligence, that it becomes the idea that destiny can be an intellectual concept.
And a pursuit that a person, or a spiritual pursuit, not only intellectual, but a spiritual one.
Yeah. I mean, let's look at somebody, the antithesis of spirituality, Darwinism. Charles Darwin, his destiny to find the origin of species. He was destined to find that. It's very specialized.
Well, and Einstein was also destined, but he believed in God, actually, didn't he?
Ultimately, he believed in a higher intelligence. And I mean, some debate about whether he personified that as God, but he believed there was some orderly intelligence out there. And in his attitude of the theory of relativity, now he found it. Newton, watching an apple by fable, watching an apple fall and discovering the theory of gravity and applying it. We all see apples fall. We all know that things fall back to the earth if you throw them up in terms of the gravitational field. But he discovered the word gravity, the theory of gravity. And it goes on and on and on when we talk about these elements.
Okay, we just received another caller, and we have such little time left in the podcast. We got to bring this person on, and it's going to be brief because we've got something right after the show. I do want to say that Everest is not in Washington; it's Everett. I remember that. So
Washington.
Yeah, remember I was saying Mount Everest. Oh, I think of Mount Everest as Washington, and this is our place in
Mount
Everest.
Mount Vernon is in Washington.
I know, but I didn't. What I'm saying is my confusion
It
was about Everett and Everest, but Everett is the city, not
Everest.
So I'm extra stupid. Okay. 860. Hello? Hi.
This is Amy.
I knew I recognized your number.
Yeah, how are you?
Fine, thanks, Amy.
Good.
This
is a little side note. My book came out a month ago. I've been talking about the book, so that's exciting. I'm excited about that. So I just was wondering, my birthday's December 1673. It's coming up.
Heard.
So do you feel or sense anything cool, good stuff coming up for me?
December 16th?
December 16th, yep.
That's what I said. Yeah, that's what I said, December.
Yeah.
So you're going to be 46 years old?
Yep.
Okay. So you're not, you had a change at 45. When did you start your book?
What'd you say?
When did you start your book?
Oh, 18 of January.
18 of January.
Right.
So I just turned 46. Wait a second. You're going to be 46, so you're having a change now. Sorry, because I got confused.
Yeah.
You're going through a change right now, actually. So
okay.
the book is a part of that, obviously. You started the book at the age of 45, and now it's available for purchase?
Yes. Yep. On Amazon and physical book. It's
What's
called EYE with a view on purpose, because I'm legally blind. So I thought that was catchy.
Wait, say the whole title again.
Sure. EYE with a view.
With a view.
I
with
a
view.
Oh, EYE.
Because, yeah.
I with a view.
Yeah.
Okay, title.
Yeah, creative.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
There's so many ways to take that, right? So people don't know that I'm going blind or am blind or whatever. There's a lot of perception and insight within the book because they're based on themes. But, I started the book in 18, so I just turned 44 at the time.
Oh.
45 was
you
this
completed
year,
it.
And then 46 is the coming year, yeah.
But you completed it at 45, so that's involved in your change. I mean, I think you're going to have some success in sales and promoting the book.
Okay.
And you're very active in terms of getting out there and promoting yourself, and you do lectures,
yes.
Don't you? So I think there's going to be some success, Neil. We have like 1 minute.
Yeah, I agree with Kristen, Amy. It's going to be success, and now we can even equate that this is your destiny to do this. We could even go so
yes.
far as to say that there's some element here, and so you promote the book. You elaborate on the content of the book. You help to support it by illustrating the meanings and the chapters and what it.
Yeah.
And you present yourself. The book is in a textual form. You are in a human form, so it's the human quality conversing with the text itself to highlight its factor. So you actually become the book is the personification of who you are. But the
yes.
two are going to be read together. So you're going to have
right.
that element on a live, active human scale as much as on a written scale. And it's going to be successful.
Yeah, yeah. Good. Congratulations on finishing. We got to close the show right now because we, like I said, have something.
I know, I understand. Thank you so very
okay.
much. Thank you.
Good luck. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
All right. We will be back on Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Bye.